Knowing that I am not Chris, and I do not memorize my sermons, I am old and cannot remember one sentence to another. I have to write them out, so please forgive me on that. I do want to take the time to get you to understand something that's really kind of interesting, is the way that God works among us. Today, as I said, Pastor Chris texts me and asked me if I would prepare, be prepared to do something. Actually, did it last night. Said, I'll be okay. Don't worry about it. So last night, I kind of looked through my old sermon archives and thought and said, you know, I don't really know what to do if he said, but, you know, he told me he'd be okay. So at 6:15 this morning or 6:11, I get a text that wakes me totally up out of a dead sleep and says, I'm sick, I can't preach, it's yours. And so one of the things I did was the very first thing was to get up, get a cup of coffee, go upstairs in my little prayer place and start praying. And it's interesting that God laid upon my heart to preach on prayer. And what's amazing was is that the song that we just sang was talking about prayer, if you looked at it, talking about revival and praying. I never talked to Justin about that. And one of the things that I was going to have him to do was to sing a song either before I preached or after I preached, which was a little bitty old song called In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. Y'all heard that song? It's an old one, Be Glorified. And when he was showing me the songs today, he said, the very last song we'll sing today, Andy, is this little song, you probably know it, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. So I know I'm on the right track, you know, that God said, yes, let's do this. And so this is what we're going to do. One of the things that we have as Christians and we are supposed to do as Christians is that we are supposed to glorify God. The Bible tells us that everything we do all to the glory of God. It also tells us, as we learned in our Sunday school lesson today, that we're to rejoice always, that we are to have joy in the Christian life. How in the world can we glorify God all the time? How in the world can we have joy all the time? Well, in the Scriptures, we do have a recipe to where we can fulfill that. We can glorify God daily. We can have joy daily. And I want you to turn to John chapter 14, if you would, and you're going to see something about the glory of God and how we glorify Him. Because I know if you're like me, I pray daily. I said, Lord, I just pray that you let me glorify you. And sometimes that's hard in a practical sense. We say, how do I glorify God when I'm at the workplace and I'm sitting in front of my computer and I don't like what I see on my computer and I don't like this, that this guy just called me up and said, hey, cancel all my orders. And I go, oh, no, we don't have a sale today. How can I glorify God in this? How can I do that? How can I, at lunchtime when I'm talking to other people, how can I glorify God? It's something that I am constantly bombarded with is, I want to make sure that my actions are going to glorify God in everything I do. And I also want to be joyous. Because I work with people, I don't know about you, but I work with people who will not speak to me until they had their second cup of coffee. I don't know if you work with people like that, but they literally will not speak to me. I say, hey man, how you doing? And they go, and I know what they're meaning. They're saying, I haven't had my second cup yet. We really do have those. I'm not that kind of way. I am a morning person. I don't know if y'all are morning people or not. I am a morning person. I get out of bed, and once I get awake, then I start singing. I sing on the way to work. I whistle when I come down the hall. People know, oh, Andy's coming again, because I'm whistling. I'm doing all kinds of things. But that is what I just like to do. I want to be joyous. How can we do it? We find out in Scripture that glorifying God and being joyous can be accomplished in the same activity. And that's called the activity of prayer. I want you to look at John chapter 14. And I want you to look at verse 12. Let's stand together as we read the word. Because we're going to jump from there. We're going to jump over to, I said 8, I'm sorry. John chapter 14 verse 8. We're going to start there. And then we're going to jump over to 16, John 16. Listen to what it says. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and the greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now turn to John chapter 16, just real quickly. John chapter 16, making sure I got this right, it should be in verse 22. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Let's pray real quickly. Father, we want to glorify you, and we also want to have joy. We pray that these scriptures will be manifest in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat, please. One thing that we have to understand and know, one piece of evidence that is evidence in our pursuit of joy, in our pursuit of God's glory, basically they're one and the same, is that of prayer. We see in this scripture that prayer actually is the pursuit of God's glory. You want to glorify God? Begin to pray. Begin to pray regularly. Begin to pray without ceasing. You want to have joy? Begin to pray. Because Jesus said that your joy may be full. So how do we glorify? How do we get joy? It's all wrapped up in one little thing. It's called prayer. Prayer is the pursuit of God's glory. It says that we're going to be glorified in the Son. Is this disappearing on me? It is. It's moving downward. Okay, I'll move it back up. It's all right. So we see that Jesus is even saying this. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father would be what? Glorified in the Son. So when we pray, we are actually glorifying God. Now, how in the world does that happen? Well, it happens just real simply. Suppose I ask Mike over here, Mike, I can't figure this thing out. I can't get it to quit slipping down. Now, knowing Mike is the master of all music stands, he will come over and he will say, let me fix this thing for you. He comes up here and he works on this thing and he goes back and sits down. Now, did I get the glory for fixing that? Or did Mike get the glory for fixing that? And the way that Mike got the glory for fixing that, I had to first do something. You know what that first thing was? I had to ask. Now, what does Jesus say? Jesus says this, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified. God gets the glory when we ask. Folks, can I get you to understand this? Prayer is nothing more than asking God for things. Now, I know it's other things too. I know it's praise. I know it's confession. But in confession, we're asking. In confession, we're saying, Lord, please forgive my sins. That is asking. But when you come to the New Testament and you see things and you look at the prayers and you look at the prayers of Jesus, Jesus tells us when we pray something like this, hallowed be thy name. You know the prayer. You know, thy kingdom come. What is that? That's a petition. That's asking. Thy will be done. What is that? That is asking. Then it says, on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our what? Daily bread. When you look at the Lord's Prayer over and over again, what it is a petition. It's asking God for things. It's asking for things. And why do we ask for things? Well, just like I used the illustration with Mike, God gets glorified because when we come to Him and we ask Him for things and ask Him for requests that we cannot do in and of ourselves, when those things happen, those answers are made to us and we see God acting on behalf of the prayers that we pray, He gets glorified because we know we couldn't have done it ourselves. That's how He becomes glorified in the Son. We ask through Jesus' name, the Father does it, God gets glorified, we get the blessings. Does this make sense so far? So we're going to glorify God by praying to God over and over again. Now there is a catch, though, I want you to understand about it. How do we glorify Him? Look in John chapter 15, if you would not mind. John chapter 15, let's go back. And Mike, this thing may be falling down on me in just a moment again, so I'm going to ask you to be glorified and fix this thing for me. Okay? And while he's doing that, so good that you bow at my feet. Okay, sorry. It says this, in 15 verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. Now look at that next part. That you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And he says, these things in verse 11 I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be, there he uses again, what? Full. But there is a catch when we're talking about glorifying God. We ask things of God in prayer so that he would be glorified, and those requests should be that we bear fruit. There's that condition. God, I want to glorify you. So therefore, if you want to glorify God through prayer, you ask for things that will bear fruit, that will glorify his name. It's not asking for things that will glorify you. Because even James, in his book, says, you have not because you ask not because you ask amiss, so that you can spend it on your lust and on your own pleasures. What God wants and what God desires is that we glorify him by asking that things bear fruit for his name. That is how God is glorified. So you want to glorify God in your life? I know that you do. The Westminster Confession even says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So if we want to glorify God, what do? We pray. Simple. We pray. Folks, prayer works because when we pray, God works in our behalf because he really enjoys giving his children good gifts. He really enjoys giving his children gifts that bear fruit. He enjoys it because he sees that you in of yourself cannot do anything without Jesus Christ. And because you can do nothing without Jesus Christ, he desires to show Christ strong in your life by answering your prayers. And by that, he gets glorified because you know he can't do it. Let me tell you a story, please, if I may. I shared this with our Sunday school class last week, but it was very true, and I always remember this. Long, long time ago in a land far, far away up in Fort Worth, Texas, I went to seminary in 1980. That means I'm old. 1980. In 1980, in that same year, I was called to be the youth pastor, music minister, education director, basically an associate pastor at a small little church called First Baptist Church of Munster, Texas. Munster, Texas, that's right. Like Herman Munster, yes, Munster, Texas. In that place, we were the only Protestant church in town. It was all German Catholic town. It settled in the 1800s. German families came over, settled there. It's about 6 miles from the Oklahoma border. There in that town, the town was about 1,200 people, but around the town, there's about 3,000 people out on farms and oil places and all this other kind of stuff. Oil leases, people living out there. The Catholic Church had 2,500 people that attended on a weekly basis. We had 30. We were the bad guys in town. People saw us, the Catholic Church saw us as the enemy because we're, you know, as long as you sit over there and just be 30 people, you're good. That's all we need you to be. But we are really the true church over here. Well, the pastor and I, when we got there, we wanted to say, what can we do in this town to get people to understand what's going on and about God and about salvation, whatever. So as we began this youth group and started reaching out to these young people, people began to take notice. And we started seeing things happen as we responded and taught our people to pray. Because we came in and said, how many of you are praying for your Catholic friends? Well, the church were going, they ain't praying for anybody. They really weren't. They weren't having a concerted effort to pray. And we began to teach them about prayer, and we decided to have a revival. We called this guy to come do this revival, and he sent to us 6 months ahead of time. He said, I will not come to do revival in this area unless first, for 6 months, you start cottage prayer meetings. Now, that's an old term because people used to live in cottages. That means that we met in homes, and we met in homes around this little city of Munster. And we met together for 6 months to pray specifically that God would pour out His Spirit upon the town and that people would be saved. He also said, I want you to get these little tabs. He sent them to us, and they were little things we put, bookmarks that we put in our Bible, and it says, God's top 10 wanted list. And basically what they did was is they wrote names down of people that we wanted to see come to know the Lord. And when we got them from those people, those 30 people gave us 30 names. 30 names on a hit list. And we were to pray specifically for those 30 people daily for 6 months. Well, the people in the town got wind of it that we had a hit list, a wanted list of praying for this. So they put it in the paper, who was owned by a Catholic man there, that the Baptist had the audacity to put us on a most wanted list and praying for them. Ran an article about this and how bad this was and how terrible this was. In fact, when we knock on doors to go knock on and invite, I'd invite kids to go to lunch, they would say, oh, you're the guys that put us on a hit list. Boom, shut the door. Wouldn't do anything with us. Now, but we began to pray. I remember we drove an old church van. I mean, it was awful. We were 90 miles from seminary. We would commute every day back and forth. We'd leave at 5 o'clock in the morning. We'd get home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd do our Greek. We'd do our Hebrew. Get up again, you know, and do this again every day. And while we were driving, the pastor and I had that hit list, and we're praying. And we're praying for them by name. We're going down the street, down the highway. A lot of the times we did it because we wanted to stay awake while we're driving. So we're calling out names. We're praying for them. We're claiming Scripture for them. We're doing all these things. People in our church are doing the same thing. Every Bible study became a prayer meeting. We're going to pray. We're going to these places. We're praying. And now the big time comes for revival. And we start calling people, invite. And people are saying, are we really going to get anybody there? We don't know, but we've been praying. And that little church, all of a sudden, people showed up at that church that we never knew were going to be there. And guess what happened? That week-long revival produced 30 people being saved. And guess what 30 they were? Everyone we were praying for. And all of a sudden, that 30 people, we were in a little bitty a place that could not hold more than 50. Now we're outgrown our auditorium. And we have to now build in this little place. So we're going to build this. Now think how God, the way God does things and answers His prayer to get Him glorified. So we start saying, we're baptizing people. Catholic people have never seen a full immersion. So they started showing up at our church. And what was amazing about this is that by the time we started a building program, you ready for this? The Catholic Church sent us a $1,000 check for us to build the church. It's amazing. Now, could that have happened on our own? If we would have gone out without the power of prayer behind us and not seeking God, we would not have seen any of that. But what happened was when God's people began to pray, God said, oh, you're praying that you may bear fruit. You're abiding in me. I'm going to glorify myself through the Son. So whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. And God got the glory. It wasn't us. We were just doing what God told us to do, and that was to pray. And God glorified Himself. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that little church went from 30 to almost 200 over those next 3 years in that Catholic, all-Catholic town. And what was amazing, even in that town, a charismatic movement moved through Catholicism at that time. And the priests were sent somewhere else, and they got an interim priest. And guess what? The interim priest had gone through some kind of charismatic movement and actually got saved and came in and started preaching the gospel to the people at the Catholic Church. Not that they were going to get it through the wafer and through the drink, but that it only comes by the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Him. That's something only God can do, guys. It's been absolutely amazing. So when we pray, we glorify God and we give Him the glory. Now, what's the second thing? The second thing is this. You want to know that your joy is going to be full. Then you begin to ask in Jesus' name. Your joy is going to be a product of prayer. That's what happens. Chapter 16, verse 24. Until now, you've not asked anything in my name. Ask, and it will be given you, that your joy will be made full. Now, why is that? It's because prayer is the nerve center in our relationship to Jesus Christ. We enter into that relationship. Jesus has come into our lives, and now as we communicate with Him, that is our nerve center. And in our nerve center, it's almost like your tickle center. Have you ever tickled your kids? My oldest son used to come to me and say, "Tickle me, Daddy." So I had to find the center. You know, because sometimes when you poke, it doesn't jump. But when you hit that one little thing, guess what happens? They start breaking out in hilarious laughter. Same way in prayer. You begin to pray in Jesus' name. You begin to see what Jesus has done for you. You begin to glory that He actually saved you, of all people, saved you. And then all of a sudden your joy begins to increase because you've hit that nerve center. And then your joy just goes, you just get joyous about what God has done. So it provides you that center, that relationship with Jesus as you're praying to Him. It gives you that nerve center to where you're concentrating upon what He did. And it also gives you the power to do what you love to do but can't do without God's help. Does that make sense? It gives you the power to do what you love to do but can't do without God's help. All of us want to see God working in our lives as a Christian. We want to see that manifestation. Through prayer, we begin to see what God is going to do. We are to bear fruit. We can't do it apart from Christ. And if we need to bear fruit and want to bear fruit and have to bear fruit, which is commanded for us to do, then we must be people of prayer. Because when we see, this is a progression. When we see answers to prayer, our joy increases. When our joy increases, the sense of our love increases. When our love increases, we want to share the love. This causes us to advance the kingdom because now we want to share what Christ has done for us. And we want to tell people when God begins to do things of the miraculous things that He has done. And other people see it and they get excited and they get joyous. And that's how our joy is made full. We can't be stingy in our prayers and just asking for things just for us. We must ask for things that actually bear fruit. And prayer gives us that power. That's the prayer. Because when we get the joy, we get the love. When we get the love, that's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the outworking of faith. And faith is sustained by prayer. Let me tell you another story just real quickly before we bring this to a close. I went to another church just up the road here back in 1989. It was the First Baptist Church of Cleveland, Texas. Have you ever been to Cleveland, Texas? Okay. No offense to anybody that's from around Cleveland, but we used to say that there is Houston as the body and the armpit is Cleveland. That's what we used to say is up there. It was tough. It was a tough area. Okay. We'd tease about it. People from Cleveland would tease about it, about this thing. Well, we went to First Baptist Cleveland. It was about 275, 300 people at that time. One same pastor from the same church in Munster and I came to this place, met with their staff, grabbed the staff together, and we saw the power of prayer, and where God answers prayer through glorification of Himself by granting requests that bear fruit, we began to start teaching the people to pray. Revival started happening at that church. It's absolutely amazing what God did. I mean, literally, folks, I'm going to tell you how crazy this was. Literally, we had a guy on a Wednesday night business meeting. Wednesday night business meeting. We were having those wonderful business meetings that you've ever been in church. Our church hasn't had much of those. If you've ever been in a traditional church, you know business meetings can be like war zone. Or it can be like the most boring thing you've ever been in your life. To go over the budget and have someone talk about, you know, well, we need to, you know, clean the carpet, all that junk. Here's the point. In business meeting, before the pastor got up to conduct the business meeting, he says this. He says, don't know why, but for some reason, I just need to ask this question before I call the church into business meeting. Is there anyone here that needs to be saved? And a guy sitting in the back that we never seen before stands up and starts walking to the front. And as he's come forward, the pastor just kind of steps around and starts talking to him. And he puts the microphone on him. And he says, sir, you need to be saved? He said, my life's a wreck. He said, I was driving, and instead of taking, I was coming through Cleveland in my 18-wheeler, and for some reason I saw y'all sign, and just something came over me and says, pull in that church. So I pulled in, and here I am. And so there, in the microphone in front of God and everybody and all the people, this guy confessed his sins and repented and prayed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to that church at that point in time? Did they all go, oh, man, I am so bored. This is pitiful. We need to go home now. Or do you think that their joy was made full? You don't think that this broke out in rejoicing? We did when we saw God answered prayer. We clapped. We prayed. We sang. We rejoiced with that guy. We talked to him about what he does now after he's been saved. It was absolutely amazing what God would do. Another point there. Our minister of education's wife had gotten stricken with something in her jaw to where she was starting to have to drink through a straw just to eat. She could not open her mouth whatsoever. And they were talking about it's severe TMJ, it's this, that, whatever. But one of the things that she requested was in James chapter 5. It says, is anybody sick? Let him call the elders of the church to anoint them and to pray over them. Now I know in the Baptist church, that's kind of not like what we do, you know? You know, all that kind of hand stuff, you know, raising of the hand. You know, I'm glad y'all do here, but I grew up in churches where people, when they start raising the hand, they go, you know, and pull themselves down to get under control because they want to think they were charismatic or anything of this nature. But she called us and said, I want the staff to come over and pray for me. And this is how she's doing it. I want the staff to come over and pray for me because I can't reach my jaw anymore, okay? And she's having to, so we come over. And in that period of time, we're sitting around her in their house, and we began to confess and make sure that we're clean before the Lord. And then we began to pray. We anointed her with oil, and we laid our hands on her, and we began to pray. And we saw nothing. Okay. For a little bit. Because as she sat there, and it was late at night, and we're all sitting around talking about what God was doing in the church, we look over, and Elaine, unconscious, subconscious, not even knowing what she's doing, she's going, man, I'm getting sleepy. Now we're looking at her. Are you sleepy? She goes, yes. Yawning. I am so sleepy. I don't know. And she keeps yawning. And we're looking at her going, duh. What happened? And all of a sudden she realizes that she's opening her mouth, that God had granted in his sovereignty to heal her at that point in time, and she had no pain and was able to open her mouth. Tears started flowing. Were there tears of sadness or were they tears of joy? We were all praising God. In fact, it turned into to picking on her husband, who was our minister of education. Oh, now she can flap that jaw just like anything. You're going to be in for it now. You had it easy for a while, but now she is absolutely healed. You see what prayer did? Prayer caused God to be glorified. Prayer caused us to break out in joy because it was bearing fruit and centering back upon God, not upon us. It was upon God. And that's what God desires of a church, to hear and to see and to witness what God wants to do through that local church in response to them asking Him to do what they cannot do. You see, we need to walk around like this, folks. We need to walk around, and Pastor Chris has been preaching on it, to deny self. Really, you know what that means practically? We walk around with a help wanted sign sitting right here going, Lord, I need the help. I can't do this on my own. I can do nothing apart from Christ. I need your help. That's called prayer that glorifies God, and God loves to bless His children. Think about it. How many people live around us? Thousands. How many people around us need the Lord Jesus Christ? Thousands. How many of you have been praying for those thousands? How many of us seriously saying, Lord, we want you to bring them in, bring them across our path, bring them here so that we can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that a part of your prayer? Are you seeing God work in your life almost every day, and is your joy full? Folks, if it's not, it's probably because we're not serious about prayer. And prayer is commanded. And not to pray, for a Christian to be prayerless, is almost like having your whole wall at home plastered with Saks Fifth Avenue gift certificates and going down to the Salvation Army store and doing all your purchases because you can't read. That's what it's like to be a Christian that does not pray. You're not going to the source of your power and your blessings and your provision. Folks, we need to become a praying church. I know that you do already, but how much do you pray that God is glorified so that your joy may be full? How much do you pray that we're going to bear fruit? How often do you lift up our pastor in prayer? How often do you lift up our church in prayer? How often do you ask that God would bring the people in from the north, the south, the east, and west to be blessed in this church, to use them in this church with the gifts that God has given to them, and that they would be saved? If not, start praying that way. And in that, you will see God being glorified. My challenge to each and every one of us, and I'm preaching to the choir here, preaching to myself, is this, that we begin to pray. Before we do everything else, to pray. Before we become a church that all we are is a bunch of activities, that we must be a church that prays first and foremost. Because without God and without Christ, we can do nothing. We can fill up this church and everything else with activities, but there is no power because we've not asked God to bless what we do. So let's pray.